Time Radio. We have the cracker of a show for you tonight, gals and gents. Wash your black heads, grab some borax, and enjoy this episode of Inner Sanctum, entitled The Silent Hands.
Palmolive Brushless and Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream present Inner Sanctum Mysteries, starring Mary Astor.
Welcome, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host, Raymond, inviting you to come in through the squeaking door and catch your breath. Now, don't be embarrassed. Many of my guests here are out of breath. But they won't tell on you. I assure you, they won't breathe a word of it. You see, they were warm, too, when they came in, but they've cooled off now. You see, I've kept them on ice. Now, if some of them seem a bit unfriendly to you, don't mind. They can't help being dead.
Tonight's Inner Sanctum story, The Silent Hands, is an original radio drama by Robert Sloan and Robert Tallman and stars Mary Astor in the role of Nina Kohler. Miss Astor is soon to appear in one of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's 20-year anniversary pictures, Meet Me in St. Louis. Tonight's Inner Sanctum drama is directed by Hyman Brown. Men, Inner Sanctum Mysteries ask you to shave with Palmolive Brushless or Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream. Either Palmolive Brushless or Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream gives you a clean, comfortable shave every time, free from razor burn, or mail the carton top to us and we'll refund your money.
When a murderer sneaks up behind you and you haven't a rear-view mirror handy, the best thing to do is listen carefully and try to hear the sound of the silent hands. High up on the bluff, overlooking a West Coast harbor, police cars feel their way through the fog on their night patrol. They're on the lookout for a mysterious woman in white who has already strangled three men and pushed their bodies over the cliff.
Attention, all police cars. Attention, all police cars. Woman in white evening dress reported walking with middle-aged man in Overlook Park. Investigate right away. Investigate right away.
Michael.
Yes, Nina.
It's getting chilly.
Oh?
Finish your cigarette, will you? Let's go in.
Of course, Nina. Here, take my coat in the meantime. Put it over your shoulders.
Thank you.
What? Trembling? What's the matter?
Nothing, just nerve, that's all. Michael.
What, dear?
My bag, it's gone.
Well, are you sure you had it with you?
Oh, yes, positive.
Oh, it must be around here somewhere. Go on ahead, Nina. I'll find it for you.
No, I... Oh, all right. But be careful of the cliff.
Now, don't you worry, dear. Go on ahead. I'll catch up with you in a moment.
Don't be long, Michael. Don't be long.
I won't. Always losing a bag. I'm always finding it for them. Is it? Let go of me. Let go of my neck. Your throat. No. No. Cliff. Don't. Don't push me over.
Ah! Don't you ever go home, Barnes?
Not one of the story to get out.
Uh-huh.
I'll be finished in a minute, McGraw, and then we can leave.
Okay.
Oh. Hello, Barnes speaking.
Mr. Barnes.
Yeah?
You want a good story for your paper. Get into a cab and drive to Overlook Park right away. The fourth victim of the woman in white has been found.
What? Tell me that again, please. I didn't catch the address. Quick, McGraw. Get on another phone and trace this call. I'll stall as long as I can.
Oh, okay.
Did you say that was Overlook Park, madam? Hello? Hello? Never mind, McGraw. She rang off.
Well, who was it?
Some dame trying to give me a tip on a murder. She said the woman in white had taken care of another victim.
The woman in white?
Yeah. We'd better get over to Overlook Park right away. There may be a story.
Wait a minute, Park.
What's the matter? You scared?
Well, sure I am. You don't know who that was. It might be a trap.
Come on.
Don't be a fool, Barnes. You might be the next victim. You gotta call a cop.
And tip off every other newspaper in town? Come on, McGraw. Every second counts. Holy mackerel. That dame was right. Look down there on the rock.
What is it?
A man's body. A man without a coat.
We better get the police.
Yeah, we'll phone the story in and then we'll... Hey, wait a minute. Look at this.
Barnes, don't touch anything.
I won't. I just want to see it. Yeah. The same, all right.
What's the same?
This metal ring on the ground. And a piece of silk next to it. That's what they found before in every one of these murders.
What do you suppose it means?
I don't know. Cops say it's like an East Indian trick, practiced by highway thieves. A precious stone or coins left on the road. When a traveler stoops over to pick it up, wham! A silk noose is slipped over the neck, and in a few seconds, it's all over.
What?
Yeah?
Somebody watching him.
What?
Over there, behind that hedge. Something moving. Something white.
You got a gun?
No.
Neither have I. Come on, we better not fool around.
Which way do we go? Back to the car?
No. The house beyond those trees. Maybe we can get to a phone.
Okay, let's run for it.
Right.
What the devil's that?
Sounds like some kind of a tropical bird.
You mean here in the park?
This isn't the park.
Oh,
that tropical bird you hear is in the aviary next to the house. It's part of my private collection.
You live in that house?
Yes, with my sister. These are our grounds, gentlemen, and you're trespassing.
Well, lady...
We're looking for a telephone, madam. We're from the Chronicle.
I don't care where you're from. You'll have to leave immediately.
But someone's been killed.
You'll have to leave immediately. My sister is ill. She can't have any excitement.
Nina! Nina!
Go back into the house, Carolyn.
Nina, I've been looking for you. Where have you been?
You know very well I've been out here feeding the birds. Why do you ask?
Because I didn't see you. I thought perhaps you went back to the place.
Carolyn, you've got cold out here. We'd better go back in the house.
But who are these men, Nina?
Reporters, dear.
We'd like to use your telephone, miss, if there's one in the house.
Why, of course. Come along. I'll take you to it.
Thank you.
If you men are reporters, I suppose you want to phone your paper about...
About what?
Nina, you're hurting.
I'm sorry, dear. If I held your arm too tightly, I didn't want you to stumble.
You're lying. You don't want me to talk.
That's not true, Carolyn. You can say anything you please. Go ahead. Say anything you please.
Oh, Nina. Please forgive me. I didn't mean what I said before. I'm just upset because you've left me alone so much tonight.
But I haven't left you alone, dear.
Oh.
I've been in the house with you all evening. Don't you remember?
Oh, yes, of course. You've been with me all evening. In the house.
All right, Carolyn. I think you're strong enough now to take these gentlemen inside and show them to the phone. I'm going to stay out here for a while and speak to the birds.
Yes, Nina. This way, please.
Now go along, McGraw. I'll be with you in a minute.
Okay, I'll put the call through.
Are you staying behind just to watch me?
In a way, yes.
You're a fool.
Well, maybe I am. But these birds you've collected fascinate me. Especially the gaily colored ones which were brought over from the Orient.
Oh, are you a fancier?
In a manner of speaking. At least I know that the creature with the yellow bill and the green eyes is a very rare species. I had to write a story about it once.
Indeed?
Yes. It's found only in certain parts of India.
What if it is?
You've been to India, haven't you?
Never.
You're lying.
I'm not accustomed to being spoken to like this.
But you are accustomed to lying. Only that alibi about not being out of the house tonight won't stand up.
Won't it?
No. That dress you're wearing is torn. And the piece that's missing from it is in my pocket. I found it out there on the cliff, near a metal ring and a bit of silk.
Now you're lying.
I have the evidence right here in my hand.
Give it to me.
Not so fast. Let go of my hand. Let go.
Open it. Open it. Or I'll dig my nails into you.
Wait a minute. Wait. I'll open it. There.
I knew you were lying. There's nothing in it.
Oh, of course not. But I found out what I wanted to know. For a woman, your hands are abnormally strong.
So now it's your turn to watch me and follow me around, huh, Mr. McGraw?
Oh, not necessarily.
Your friend must think I intend to run off before the police arrive, but he's wrong. I have nothing to fear from the police.
Of course not.
Don't stand there and grin at me. I'm cold and miserable. If you had any manners, you'd take off your coat and offer it to me before I freeze to death.
You can have my coat.
Here. Thank you.
Wait a minute. Where are you going?
Back to the house. There's a police car there now.
Well, good. I'll go back with you.
Just a moment.
What's the matter?
My watch. I've lost my watch somewhere along the path.
Who are you kidding? I just saw you throw it over in the grass.
Here it is, right over here.
What the devil? Where'd she go to? Where'd she...
Oh! My stuff! No! No! Come on! Keep pushing me up! Good!
Sorry to see McGraw go like that. He was such a nice boy. But, you know, it's his own fault in a way. He never should have tried that jump without a parachute. He may hurt himself someday, like the fellow who, when shaving, gives himself a good case of razor burn.
Men, when you torture your face with razor burn, don't just blame your razor blade. Instead, try Palmolive Brushless, that smooth, easy-to-spread, won't-clog your razor shave cream. You see, Palmolive Brushless literally lubricates your skin, so your razor just glides along without tugging, scratching, or scraping. Yes, mister, even the toughest beards lie down and wilt when you use Palmolive Brushless. And your face is cool, comfortable, not drawn or dry. So why don't you quit bothering with a shaving brush and try Palmolive Brushless? You buy Palmolive Brushless in the big money-saving victory jar, and we'll guarantee you a clean, comfortable shave every time. And we know you'll sing goodbye forever to painful razor burn.
Let's get back to Nina and that beautiful Indian rope trick. After that double-header killing, Nina was picked up by the police and put in jail on suspicion of murder. But the case against her was still pretty slim, and... When Barnes went down to his cell to get a story for his paper.
You seem very confident for a woman who has so little time left to live.
You're meddling, Mr. Barnes. Something that doesn't concern you.
No, it does concern me. McGraw was a good friend of mine.
I'm warning you not to interfere, Mr. Barnes. You'll regret it if you do.
You'll regret it more. I have everything to gain and nothing to lose.
Nothing but your life.
Yeah, what about yours?
They'll never convict me.
Don't be so sure.
I'm innocent. They can't even keep me here another 24 hours.
So your lawyers are going to spring you, huh?
I have influential friends, Mr. Barnes. And when I'm free, I want to be left alone. You understand?
You don't frighten me, Miss Cola. I'll get the goods on you if it's the last thing I ever do.
If you try, it will be the last thing you ever do.
Miss Cola, your sister's here.
Oh, thank you.
Please, you're free. You're free, darling.
Yes, I know. George told me he was getting out a writ. You see, Mr. Barnes, I have influential people.
Well, they won't always be able to help you.
No? Come along, Carolyn. I have so much to tell you.
Yes, dear. Mr. Barnes, you've got to help me.
What?
It's a matter of life and death. Come to the house tonight at 10 o'clock. I'll be feeding the birds in the aviary.
Right.
Carolyn, what are you doing?
I'm coming, Nina. I'm coming.
Miss Cola. Miss Cola.
Oh, Mr. Barnes, thank heaven you're here. I was afraid you wouldn't come.
Well, you said it was a matter of life and death.
It is. It is. My sister's been lying to the police, and she's made me lie for her, too.
What do you mean?
Well, that night you were here, that night Michael was killed, she told you she was in the house with me all evening, but she wasn't. She was out with him, working through the park.
Why didn't you tell the police?
I couldn't. I couldn't. I was afraid of what she might do to me. You don't know her, Mr. Bond. She'd kill me if she thought I was telling you this. But I've got to tell somebody. I've just got to.
Now, wait a minute, kid. Get hold of yourself. The night this fellow Michael was killed, your sister made you say that she was home with you all evening.
Yes, that's right.
Did she tell you why she wanted you to lie for her?
Yes. But I don't believe her. She said she had nothing to do with Michael's death, but that there was no way of proving her innocence. She was afraid that police might convict her on circumstantial evidence if I didn't give her an alibi.
I see. One more question, Miss Cola. You've been to India, haven't you?
Yes, we lived there a number of years.
I thought so. When I saw that bird with the yellow bill and the green... Well, by the way, where is that bird? I don't see it.
It's gone. The cage is empty.
Your sister must have taken it away.
I had to, Mr. Barnes. He was dead.
Oh, Nina.
Why are you so frightened, Carolyn? Have you been talking out of school?
No, no.
What have you told him?
Nothing. Nothing. I haven't said a word.
You're lying. Go into the house, Carolyn.
Just a moment.
Are you meddling again, Mr. Barnes?
I'm more than meddling. I'm going to protect the state's key witness in its case against you.
So you have told him?
Yes. Yes, I told him everything. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care. I don't
Be
care.
Quiet. Be quiet, I tell you.
How long do you think you can keep this up, Miss Caller? Aren't five cold-blooded murders enough for you?
You're a fool, Barnes.
Phone the police, Carolyn. Hurry. I'll keep her here until they arrive.
Carolyn, don't you dare.
Phone the police, I tell you. She'll kill you if you don't.
Yes, I'll call them.
Carolyn, come back here.
The jig's just about up, Miss Cola.
You think you're clever, don't you?
Not especially. But I know who committed those murders.
You don't. You're wrong, Mr. Barnes. I can prove that you're wrong.
You're wasting your breath.
But I'm innocent, I tell you. And I can prove it if you give me half a chance.
What chance did you give McGraw?
I wasn't anywhere near McGraw when he was killed. And Michael was my best friend.
Yeah, tell that to the cop.
Give me a break, Mr. Barnes. I'll admit I was with Michael that night he was killed, but I didn't do it. I couldn't have done it.
You couldn't have done it?
No. I'll show you why if you let me go back to the place where it happened.
What do you think I am?
I think you're a gentleman, Mr. Barnes. And I know you want to find out who murdered your friend. But you never will find out if they convict me. You'll never find the real murderer. Won't you believe me? Won't you give me this one last chance?
I don't know.
Please, please, let me prove that you're wrong.
Okay. Where do you want to go?
Back to the edge of the cliff. Michael and I were standing just about here, Mr. Barnes.
Yes, go on.
We were talking about the mysterious murders that had taken place on these bluffs overlooking the harbor. We were joking about the fact that I was a woman dressed in white.
You're in white again tonight, Miss Cola.
Yes, it's my favorite color.
I see.
We stood here for a while, and then the cold air chilled me, so I asked Michael for his coat. May I have your coat, please, Mr. Barnes?
What's the idea?
I want to show you what happened.
Well, do you have to be that graphic?
Yes, it's important. The details are terribly important.
All right, you can have my coat. But I'm warning you, Miss Kohler, I know the game. Slipping a silk noose over a man's neck is done more easily when his coat's off. That's why all the victims were found in their shirt sleeves.
But Michael was the only one I knew. I couldn't possibly have had a motive for killing the others. They're complete strangers to me.
That's not much of a defense. Psychopathic murderers often kill without a motive. They do it for the thrill it gives them, whether they know their victims or not. All right, continue with your story, Miss Kohler.
Well, after I put on Michael's coat, I started toward the house.
Eh?
And then I missed my bag.
Eh?
I guess I left it near the edge in this, over there somewhere beside that rock. Good heavens.
What's the matter?
Isn't that another bag over there?
Where?
Beside the rock. Get it, Mr. Barnes, and bring it here.
What?
Bring it here.
Oh, no, you bring it here.
Oh, all right. If you're that frightened of me, I will. Just an ordinary bag. I don't know why you were afraid of picking it up. Nothing could have... Oh, my neck! I knew you couldn't resist another victim, Mr. Barnes. But you forgot about my strong hand and this coat I borrowed from you. You should have known better than to try that trick while I still had it on.
There are other ways of committing murder, Miss Kohler.
And I'm sure a psychopathic killer like yourself knows most of them.
Yes, I do.
Stay where you are.
You're smarter than I thought, Miss Kohler. I never dreamed that you'd plant a gun in that bag.
That was the chief's idea. You underrated our police force, Barnes. We've suspected you for some time. We couldn't get the goods on you till tonight.
We?
Yes. Didn't you know there were women detectives? My sister and I have been leading you on ever since you killed Michael.
And all the time I was figuring I could pin the rap on you.
That Barnes boy gave me the willies. And that, of course, leads to the gimmies. Well, look here. Here's Laptop with the wanties.
I want lots of lather. I want lots of lather.
Okay, you men who use a brush when you shave, you want lots of lather. And you'll get lots of lather simply by using Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream. For an honest whisker wilter, millions of men prefer it. In fact, more men use Palmolive than any other lather shaving cream. Here's why. First, Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream gives lots and lots of lather. E-Man lather with millions of moist bubbles to blitz your beard. Second, Palmolive lather lubricates your razor, speeds your shave, and leaves your skin smooth, cool, comfortable. So, if you're a lather and brush user and want to avoid razor burn, get Palmolive lather for a smooth, easy shave that you'll whistle your way through. Get Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream, knowing it's going to leave your skin smooth, your face clean and comfortable, or your money back.
Well, it's time to fold up the ghosts now, those little folds, and put them back in the closet with the family skeleton, which is something. But remember, the next time you're out in the park on a foggy night, keep your shirt on and keep your coat on, too. Although Silent Hands are liable to give you a pain in the neck. By the way, this month's Inner Sanctum Mystery is Set the Spider to the Fly by Richard Shattuck. Well, if there's no more business to scare up, I guess I'll turn on the darkness. thanks. So, until next week, when Palmolive Brushless and Palmolive Leather Shaving Creams bring you another Inner Sanctum Mystery, good night. Pleasant dreams.
What is the 14-day Palmolive plan? Yes, what is the 14-day Palmolive plan?
It's the biggest beauty news in years. Doctors tested this plan, proved it brought lovelier complexions to 2 out of 3 of all the women tested. Here it is.
Wash your face with Palmolive soap. Then massage for a full 60 seconds with Palmolive's lovely soft lather. Then rinse. Do this 3 times a day.
Easy to do, yet 36 doctors prove this Palmolive plan brings a lovelier complexion to 2 out of 3 women. No matter what type of skin you have, dry or oily, the 14-day Palmolive plan works. So get Palmolive. See what Palmolive can do for your skin in only 14 days.
Madam Fish curses those stinky drunk kids in machines. Pay attention, Polka Dot. There will be a quiz at the end. Welcome back to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Now enjoy this fucking episode of X-1, entitled Colony.
Countdown for blast off. X-5, 4, 3, 2. X-1, fire.
From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on 1,000 maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight's story, Colony, by Philip K. Dick.
The existence of Planet Blue, the fourth in orbit around a G-type sun somewhere in the Aldebaran sector, was predicted by spectroscopic analysis and spatio-mathematic equations some 50 years before an exploring mission was dispatched to it. The research team, under Commander Stella Morrison of the Colonial Administration, went into orbit around Planet Blue at 0700 standard sidereal time. Authorized procedures were followed.
Aerial photography completed, Commander.
Anything show on the plates?
Well, Masterson was suspicious of these lines towards the poles, but the angles seem to be coincidence.
They are not artifacts.
Glacial faults. Geological survey reports no volcanism. Mm-hmm. The launch is back. Dodge has a landing site pinpointed. Preliminary atmospheric tests look good. There's a 0.7 bulge in oxygen, but it's just enough to make you feel good. Looks like an open-air job. No pressure suits or condenser masks.
Well, that's precisely what they thought on Centauri 1. And the whole expedition was wiped out by spores.
Of course, I was assuming a favorable biocheck.
Mm-hmm.
Preliminary photographic survey, Mr. Wood.
Thank you, Dodds.
Do you want them played back here? We haven't transcribed the tape.
If you please, Lieutenant.
393. Al, pipe the photo tapes up here on 324.
Hmm. Looks like a green world, all right. Punch up the tape, if you please, Lieutenant.
All orbital checks proved positive. The atmosphere and gravity Earth normal to 3 places on the Grayson scale. and the exploratory research ship, lowered itself by the Meyerson-Lay atmospheric skip method, came into a stall tail landing just before sunset on a day marked in the logs as Planet Fall Zero. The hatches remained sealed as a 2-mile perimeter was scanned by direct instrumentation. Major Lawrence Hall of Biosurvey reported EEG sweeps to the bridge.
Of course, it isn't conclusive. We've run into life forms that didn't broadcast a brainwave at all. The Gryllodont lizard on Ganymede. Skull acted as an effective shielding due to a heavy lead constituent in the body chemistry.
Major Hall, I am not interested in a lecture on extraterrestrial zoology. Is there or is there not life within the range of your instruments?
Well, I'm sorry, Stella. The readings show no electrical brain activity whatsoever, and that covers life down to the level of invertebrates. There may be a few worms turning out there, and unless they're thinking awfully hard about something, we wouldn't pick them up.
Well, thank you. I want preliminary drones out for sampling. How long do you think that will take?
Well, a thorough job, take about 2 weeks.
I have a schedule, Major. How long till you can give me a protective Schedule C clearance?
2 days. Then I ought to check airborne spores and microorganisms.
Carry on, Major.
All right, Stella. I'll let you know if I turn up any, special diseases on Planet Blue.
Drone sample missiles were dispatched at sunrise. Air scoops, ground samplers, and vegetation choppers returned to base, and the bio team instituted full prescribed tests. Immediately identifiable airborne dangers were ruled out. Outside of the possible allergenic action of pollens, Planet Blue was ruled safe for normal exploratory procedures, and the real work of the survey was gotten underway.
Here's the morning report, Commander. 4 in sick bay, 3 ordered to light duty.
What happened?
Well, last night was liquor ration.
Oh.
Survey teams out in the field. Bio crew under Major Hall. Agronomy, ecological, geological, and deep map teams out.
Any reports back?
Deep map seems to think there's petroleum over to the north, and agronomy reports if you dropped a seed in this soil, you'd have to jump back to keep from being knocked over by the plant.
Mm, sounds pretty good.
Commander, Blue is about as likely a spot for colonization as has been turned up since Harvey's planted in 27.
Well, they'll be glad to hear that in Central. How long do you think until we can send back a clearance?
I've checked with department chiefs. They all estimate about 2 or 3 days more until they're satisfied. All except Bio. Well,
why is Major Hall dragging his feet?
I don't know.
Well, find out. And in the meantime, I'm going to call a staff meeting. Every day we can save on our report is important. If Blue is suitable for colonization, I don't want to waste a minute.
By planetfall plus 3 weeks, all departments had reported favorably except biology. Ecological survey pointed out the difficulty involved in the necessity of importing animal life, but this problem had already been met in the colonization of Gamma 2 and 3, when an entire ecology had been transported in frozen gene banks and fertilized and incubated on the site. Biology, however, still withheld a favorable report.
Look, Larry.
What is the secret, Stella? Cold formality on the bridge and Larry when you're in my lab?
Well, I'm serious. Well, I've just gotten an official query from Central. They want to fish or cut bait on Blue. Your department is the only one holding it up. We're 2 weeks behind schedule.
And the first colony on Vishnu was right on schedule and 7,000 died of green spot.
That was before the full bio check technique was worked out.
My dear, do you know how many different microorganisms there are in a cup full of dirt?
I'm not a freshman student of biology.
Oh, dear. And I was hoping I could tempt you into some field work.
Someday, Larry, you're going to make some remark in front of some junior officers or even enlisted personnel, and I'm going to have to call you on it.
Afraid for your dignity, my dear?
Look, I'm in charge of this expedition. My dignity happens to be a function of command, and as such, it's a survival factor.
Ah, well, then you had better take it easy at officers' mess. You know, I saw 2 biomates watching you, climbing the ladder to the bridge. Do you know what their affectionate name for you is?
Major Hall. I'm serious. I want a bio clearance as soon as possible.
And you will get it. As soon as possible.
And when will that be?
When I'm satisfied.
Are the bugs here so dangerous that you're afraid of them?
No, on the contrary. We have yet to find a harmful life form.
Well, you didn't report that. If there are no harmful life forms...
No lice. No disease germs. No malignant virus.
Well, then what are you waiting for?
There should be. There should be at least one little fellow who could give you a common cold.
Look, Sociology section found no native narcotic plant life, and inasmuch as there is no humanoid life, there is no bootlegging, gambling, immorality, and pornography either. By analogy, that would be a good reason not to colonize. Is that the idiotic logic you're following?
Microbiology is a little different, Stella. And anyway, what is the rush? Blue is something different. There's something peaceful in the air. Why rush to bring picnickers who drop candy wrappers and fill the pools up with empty beer cans?
Larry, I have a planned board conference in 10 minutes. If you don't bring in some kind of a report by then, I'll have to supersede you under a Section 23.
Ah, yes, that's what happened on Vishnu, isn't it? Followed by Greenspot, and the wagons dragged the corpses out of the colony street.
Never mind that, Major. I want a report.
In the biology section lab, Major Lawrence Hall continued to examine tissue samples from lower fauna and flora samples brought in from Planet Blue. He settled a container of prepared slides and flipped the switch on the electron microscope. Major Hall slid the first slide on the stage of the microscope and adjusted the focus knob.
Come on, come on, come on. There you are. All right, come on, kid, eat something.
The microorganisms, a form of rotifer, displayed none of the characteristics of ferocity and aggression which were normal on several dozen other planets. Presently, however, Major Hall stopped whistling. Inasmuch as the two eyepieces of his microscope twisted suddenly around his windpipe and started to strangle him, Hall tore at them, but they dug relentlessly into his throat, steel prongs closing like the claws of a trap. With a convulsive effort, he managed to break free and fling the microscope from him.
Oh, that's crazy. It's better let go of my leg.
He kicked the microscope loose and drew his blaster. As the microscope scuttled away, rolling on its coarse adjustment knobs, he fired. The microscope disappeared in a cloud of metallic particles. The plans board of the research team was assembled in the officer's library. Commander Stella Morrison was outlining plans on a detailed aerial survey map.
This long, flat area is ideal for the actual city. It has an adequate watershed in the hills here, and weather conditions vary sufficiently to give the settlers something to talk about. There are large deposits of various minerals. The colonists can set up their own factories. They won't have to do any importing. Over here is the biggest forest on the planet. If they have any sense, they'll leave us, but if they want to make newspapers out of it, that's not our concern. Now, all reports are in, except bio, and I think that before long we'll be getting...
Stella!
Major Hall, may I remind you that when the consul is in session, no one is permitted to interrupt...
Come to my lab.
Look, Hall, if you're not feeling well, you look a little sick.
Yes, well, I should be. My microscope just tried to strangle me.
What?
Oh, I see.
It almost got me, but I blasted it. Well, that's not the worst.
It isn't?
No. The microscope is still there. After I blasted it, I found it under the lab bench, untouched.
Look, Major, you sure you don't need a psych test?
Well, I don't know. I suppose it does sound a little...
You look post-trauma to me.
Huh? Oh. Well, you're right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Commander.
Put Major Hall on psycho report. I think we'll have to proceed to order colonization here without him.
Major Hall proceeded to psych center and inserting his ID card in the robot Neo Rorschach machine, he placed his hands on the contacts and activated the search and gestalt circuits. Presently, the green light flashed, indicating tentative diagnosis. Major Hall hit the response key.
Severe disturbance. Instability ratio above 10.
And that's over danger, isn't it?
Yes. 8 is danger. 10 is unusual, especially for a person of your index. Your norm is 4.
Yeah, I know.
I require more data to determine whether this unusual instability ratio is an aberrant reaction or is normal survival oriented.
Well, I can't tell you anymore.
It is illegal to hold back information during a robo-psych test. You will deliberately distort diagnosis, which is punishable by 6 months forfeiture of pay and allowances, or such other penalty as a court-martial may direct.
Thanks a heap. Now look, do you record a high degree of unbalance for me?
There is a high degree of psychic disorganization. But what it signifies, or its etiology, I am unable to determine without further data.
Yeah. Okay, well, just take a tip from me. Stay away from homicidal microscopes.
That is an interesting Freudian slip. You undoubtedly mean homicidal maniacs, not microscopes. This indicates a possible maladjustment in the area of your specialty.
Why don't you go grease your id?
I will consider that suggestion.
Major Hall returned to the biosection lab and tested the atmosphere near the place where he had fired his blast gun at the microscope. The analysis showed a high density of metallic particles colloidally suspended in the air. In a state of confusion, with an emotional distress quotient of at least 0.742, he stripped off his uniform and entered the shower.
Oh.
Oh, well, you can't expect anybody to believe a story like that.
I must be off my rocker.
Major Hall stepped out of the shower, reached for one of the towels on the rack. The towel wrapped around his head and yanked him against the wall. Rough cloth pressed over his mouth and nose. He fought wildly, pulling away. All at once, the towel let go. Major Hall crawled out of the shower and proceeded to dress. His belt, heavy canvas with reinforced metal links, tried to get him around the waist and crush him. The belt, being a heavy-duty issue, was strong, and they rolled on the floor until Hall was able to reach his blaster. He threw himself down in a chair to regain his breath. The arms of the chair started to close around him, but this time he was ready.
Major, I don't believe you were announced.
Look, Commander, Stella.
You're armed. You know that regulations
are... Sorry, Stella, this is important.
Well, what do you want? I have a report here from the robo-psych tester. It says you've hit a ratio of 10 within the last 24-hour period. We've known each other for a long time. Larry, what's happening to
Stella,
you?
Stella, I told you. A little while ago, my microscope tried to strangle me. Then when I was getting out of the shower, a bath towel tried to smother me. I got by that. And while I was dressing, my belt...
Wood, in here on the double.
And I finally blasted that. And then an armchair beside...
Yes, Commander.
Stand by a moment.
Stella, will you listen to me? This is serious. Ordinary objects suddenly turning lethal. Maybe this is what we've been looking for. Maybe this is...
Your microscope tried to kill you?
I told you, its stems got me here around the windpipe.
No one else saw this happen.
No. I blasted it, and then I found it again, perfectly all right.
I see, Wood.
Yes, ma'am.
Get two guards and take Major Hall down to Captain Taylor in sick bay. Have him confined until he can be sent back to Terra for examination.
Listen, Stella...
Sorry, Major. You can't prove this story, and we'll just have to assume it's a psychotic projection on your part. And we can't afford to have any psychotics running around loose on this planet. Wood, carry on.
You'll be all right, Hall. Back on Earth, they can clear a thing like this up in a few weeks.
Yeah, maybe you're right, Wood. Maybe I'm just out of my mind.
Here we are. Captain Taylor! Captain Taylor! He should be in. Captain! The hatch isn't locked. Taylor! What's the matter?
That scatter rug is choking him. Take an end to pull.
But quick before he's crushed, grab that rug.
Now hear this. Now hear this. General alarm. General alarm. Emergency stations. Emergency stations. Condition red. Sidearms will be issued to all personnel. General alarm.
Captain Taylor tells me the rug came from Terra. His grandmother braided it.
That's what I was trying to tell you. It was not the rug that attacked them.
Then what was it?
Something that looked like this rug. And it was something that looked like a microscope that went for me. And the towel and the belt.
You mean there's some life form that can imitate anything?
Yes, it seems so. And it's deadly.
Hey, Charlie, general alarm. Get up out of that sack. Hey, what'd you do with my gloves?
Oh.
Hey, where'd I get two pair?
Well, eighty, meeny, money. Mo. One pair of gloves is the same as the other.
Hey, these gloves are moving. How do you like that? These fool gloves are going for my blast pistol. Charlie, is this one of your crazy electronic gags? Did you rig my gloves? Hey, look out for that pistol! Look out! Commander, there's another casualty. Lieutenant Dodds.
What happened?
I don't know. He seems to have shot himself.
Oh, no.
Stella, I think that I have something.
Dodds is dead.
Look, we know that this thing can camouflage itself. It can imitate any object it leans up against. All right, now, listen to this.
Larry, we've got
this to... This is the answer. It's a tape from Captain Galt. He was out on bio survey. He had a throat mic on. He was talking to the operator at base. Now, listen to this.
Head for home now. What's this emergency about? Our glad Stella having hysterics? That's funny. I swear I parked my bucket over by those trees. Well, it's here anyway. Heat up some coffee for me. I'll be in a couple. Yeah, that's funny. There's another bucket over by the tree. Where'd this one come from? Let me out. The thing's stuck. Folding up around me. Joe, get a squad out here. That's it. I can't get out. It's digestive fluid. Get somebody out here before.
His transmission just stopped. All right, now we're up against some organic form of life, and there should be some way to destroy it. We've already blasted a few, but we don't know how many more there are. Maybe it's an infinitely divisible substance, some kind of protoplasm.
We've had over 12 casualties reported, and there's still 5 teams out in the field.
All right, it's a lethal life form. Now that explains why we found everything else harmless. Nothing could compete with this. We have mimic plants of our own, the twisty slug on Venus, but nothing that goes this far.
It can be killed, though. You said that yourself.
If it can be found. You can't tell. Clothes, rugs, drapes, chairs. We can't tell which is which. We've got to try to find some poison, some spray that will destroy them wholesale.
Oh, no. Oh.
What's the matter?
In the corner. I never noticed 2 briefcases over there before. There was only one, I think. How are we going to know?
Shortly after the final casualty report of 30 dead and 12 wounded, Major Hall sealed off the bio quarters and moved in with a team from chem section, all dressed in corrosive resistant suits.
Well, I'll make sure that you've got a tight seal on the neck joint.
What are you going to do, Major?
I've got a combination of hydrogen and arsenic under pressure, arsine gas. That'll give us an idea of how much they've infiltrated. Arsine is deadly to humans, so check your helmets. Now, Sergeant, I don't want any panic blasting. Arsine is inflammable. All right. Release the valve.
As the gas filled the room, the first to go was a filing cabinet, which melted and oozed to the floor. Bars and test tubes. The lab was sealed off and a meeting held in Commander Morrison's quarters.
Well, it's protoplasm, all right. You could see that when the mimic shape melted. It was just as big as your hand. It may resemble the simple unicellular protozoa. gigantic in size compared to microorganisms.
Can we spray them?
Our sign disturbed them, and I suppose enough might kill them. But we haven't got that much. We can't flood the planet. We wouldn't be able to use our blasters, and it's lethal to humans.
We'll have to pull out.
Stella, I'm afraid you don't quite understand. We can't take the chance of carrying them back to the system disguised as a boot or a towel or anything. And they seem to multiply by binary fission. Wouldn't take long to overrun Earth and the rest of the system.
If we stay here, they'll pick us off one by one.
We could have arsine brought in or some other poison, but that would destroy most of the other life on the planet along with it.
Then we'll have to burn the planet clean. Wood?
Yes, ma'am.
Set up a call to system monitor. I'm going to get the unit off here out of danger. After that, we can work out the best way of cleaning off this planet.
You'll run the risk of taking them back to Terra.
Can they imitate higher life forms? Can they masquerade as humans?
Apparently not. They seem to be limited to inorganic subjects.
Then we'll go back without any inorganic material.
But our clothes, they can imitate the synthetic fibers, belts, gloves, boots.
We're not taking our clothes. We're going back without anything at all.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Get me a beam to central monitor immediately.
The nearest cruiser was 2 light hours away, Captain Daniel Davis commanding. Tight beam communication was established after coordinates were flashed from central monitor.
This is Captain Davis. Can you read me?
I read you. Commander Morrison here. Captain, you are to make a planetfall as soon as possible at coordinates to be supplied you. We are going to board your ship naked.
Naked?
That's right.
Well,
when will you land?
At about 1,500 hours, I'd say.
Captain, would it be possible for your men to...
I'll have my crew below decks. We'll land on robot control.
Thank you. Wood, sign off the transmission.
Yes, ma'am.
There was some objection among the enlisted personnel, particularly in the women's quarters. The ship landed at 1,200 hours, 3 hours sooner than expected.
All hands disrobe immediately. All personnel report to field, ready to embark.
So soon? I didn't hear the ship land.
It's there, all right. We'd better go. Larry.
Mm-hmm?
Larry, you go ahead. I'd rather get ready alone.
Parked in the center of the landing field was a cruiser, its hull pitted and dented by meteor strikes. It lay motionless, with no sign of life aboard. A crowd of naked people was moving across the field, blinking in the bright sunlight. Commander Stella Morrison, without any sign of rank apparent, paused on the ramp and spoke to Major Lawrence Hall beside her.
Larry.
Yeah? What is it?
I'm scared.
Why?
I don't know.
Psychological reaction. Forget it. It's a reaction to nudity carried over from early childhood. Come on, we're holding up the line.
Larry, I want to go back.
Stella, look. Now, at least Davis kept his promise. There are no enlisted men lining the hatches to enjoy the view. You see? It's dark in there. There's nothing to worry about. Come on. Up you go.
The last of the research team filed into the interior of the ship, and the hatch closed behind them. At exactly 1,500 hours, Captain Daniel Davis landed his ship in the center of the field. Automatic relays opened the main lock hatch and lowered the ramp. Davis and his staff sat in the control cabin waiting.
Well, how do you like that? Where are they? Well, maybe the whole fool thing is a joke. We've waited an hour already.
They waited. And waited. but no one came.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features Double Dare by Robert Silverberg, which demonstrates that pride can lead to much worse than a fall. It can put a man out on a limb and keep him there. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Colony, a story from the pages of Galaxy written by Philip K. Dick and adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. Featured in the cast were Frederica Chandler, John Larkin, James Stevens, Larry Robinson, Bill Quinn, and Alan Bergman. Your narrator was Norman Rose. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
Listening to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Join us again next week at the same time on the mighty KONR. Don't forget to play What Will Mrs. Thompson Say at LGAP.com. Now, stay tuned for the Sasquatch Report.